So recently, I was reading a report, and it said this. How many of you like reports and statistics? Just one person over here, two? There you go. That people born in 1980 to 2000, I think that's called the millennial generation. Give it up for the millennials. They're always taking the heart beating from society as they get critiqued so much. But this report said that for millennials, they were spending more on coffee than on their retirement. Per year, millennials spend $1,100 on coffee and Starbucks, which adds up to $3 per day. And only 6% of them are investing in their retirement. Then I looked at another statistic and it said this. It said, per year in the United States, the gambling industry is $45 billion. $45 billion with a B. And then I looked at another statistic, and it said, giving to the church among Christians is at about 1.6%. It means that Christians in the U.S. of A only give 1.6% of their income to the only organism that Jesus instituted, which is the Church of Jesus Christ, who are sitting right here. It works out to be about $74 per month. So maybe you're here and you're someone who you're running for the doors already. You hear talk about giving, about digging into your pocketbook, about grabbing your wallet and giving to the church, and you're headed for the exits. Or maybe you're someone who you've never given to God's kingdom work. You've never considered it. You've never discovered the joy of giving to the kingdom of God. Or maybe you're curious. You've been thinking about it. You've been praying about it. You've heard week after week Pastor Juan talk about giving to the Lord's work, and you're not sure, you're on the fence. Let me tell you, you're in the right place. Because today we're going to discover this from God's Word. What should encourage you to greater financial giving toward God's kingdom? What should encourage you? It's on your screen. To increase your financial giving toward God's kingdom. And when I say God's kingdom, I mean God's people, helping God's people. And I mean investing in your local church. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Second Corinthians chapter 8. I'll be looking at verses 1 and 2. When I came in, someone said, "Oh, it's great to have you." And I said, "Yeah, they brought me here to preach about giving." And the girl said, "We're a giving church." And I said, "Man, that response couldn't be any better." Amen. Because those claps are from experience that you know what it's like to let go of money, to let go of possessions. What should encourage you to greater financial giving to God's kingdom? Number one, the testimony of those who give while suffering and poor. There is a testimony in these first two verses from people who give, who are poor and suffering. Let's look at verses 1 and 2. Now, brothers, we wish to make known to you the grace of God, which has been given in the churches of Macedonia, that in great ordeal of affliction, their abundance of joy and their deep poverty overflowed in the wealth of their liberality. Okay, let's stop right there. There are people that the Apostle Paul wants to tell us about. And here's the scenario. The scenario is this. There were some churches that were going through a tough time. They were being persecuted. They were being pursued by the authorities. They were being maligned and slandered by the leadership of the state. And they were on the run and they were in need. And Paul said, let's take an offering from a bunch of other churches and give it to this church in need. And this wasn't something that happened just on a Sunday. This was something they planned for more than a year. And they were planning to collect this offering from multiple churches to give to the churches that were being persecuted. And the time came to put the money forward so it could be delivered to them. They didn't have Venmo or Cash App back then. It had to be hand-delivered. So he says this, brothers in Corinth, brothers and sisters, I want to make known to you the offering that was collected. No, it doesn't say that. Look on the screen. Verse 1. I make known to you, brothers and sisters, what? The grace of God. He wants to tell them about the grace of God. Well, wait a minute. If he's going to tell them about the grace of God, why doesn't he just tell them about the cross of Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ dying for our sins, right? And that God saves us by grace through faith. And when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we're saved. Why doesn't he talk about that? And he says, no. That is the grace of God. But there's another grace of God, or another part of the grace of God, which is that God is moving in these people who are poor to give money to other believers who are suffering. Sometimes we see people giving, we see people generous to people in need, and we think, wow, what a great person they are. And we don't think, wait. That's the grace of God. That's God working. Amen, saints? That is the Lord God at work. He says this, I want to make it known, right? Where's our evangelists? Any evangelists in the house? When you see someone, you're like, are they saved or not? And then if they're not, you're like, I got to tell them about Jesus. Anybody? Just one? Two? Okay, two. We got two again. Two and two. That's a good work. Keep that up. But look at this here. I want to make this known. I got to tell you, he's saying, I got to tell you about these believers from different churches who came together and put their money together to help other believers, to increase the strength of the church financially. I got to tell you about it. Because it's God's work. It's really God's work. It's a work of grace. And now look at what else he says. I want to make known to you the grace of God that's happening through this collection, which has been given in the churches of Macedonia. And the idea is the same there. If you can't get, if you need another G in this sentence, then I can't help you. We got grace, we got God, and we got given. That's all us on the receiving end. Do you hear me? Who understands that? That means we are recipients of the grace of God, experiencing this when they're collecting this money. This is God's work. This is something to delight in and rejoice in. It was given in the churches of Macedonia. He's like saying, look, I just was looking at these churches and I saw them and they were going to do this amazing collection of money to help the other churches that are persecuting. And I was blown away because I'm recognizing the fingerprint of God in that activity. You may be like, look, I don't have any money. Welcome to the club. But these people were poor. These believers were poor. Look at verse 2. That in great ordeal of affliction. Look, we're meeting here. We have the heat on. We have masks on. You have phones in front of you. We have TV screens. They were meeting in secret because they were being persecuted. The word persecute means to pursue, meaning they're on the run. And they still were like, hey, we got to plan out giving to that church. In a great ordeal of affliction. We're not afflicted here. We're comfortable. Look, if you want to lay down and rest, get a pillow, go ahead, bro. Nobody's going to care. We'll be like, good, he was up late working last night. We're glad he's here. These people were hiding out. And he says, look, they were afflicted, but they had joy. Amen? Look at that little word there. Almost didn't even fit on the screen, right? Man, that word, so small, so powerful to motivate us to do what God wants. The joy of the Lord is what? Our strength. The joy of the Lord will make someone who should be concerned about their safety and want to be concerned about the needs of others. Only the joy of the Lord will do that. Only someone who has been touched by Jesus Christ. Amen? Someone who was in darkness, who's now in the light. Only joy. And what did Jesus say? He went to the cross for the joy that was in him. He endured the cross. You can have joy while going through. Amen? Let me say that again. You can have joy while you're going through difficulties. That in great ordeal of affliction, their abundance of joy and their overwhelming financial portfolio, right? Isn't that what it says? Their overwhelming financial portfolio in cryptocurrency allowed them to give to the church. It doesn't say that. They had nothing. In their deep poverty, they're pulling out their pockets. There's nothing in there. Look, let me say this. Don't let your poverty stop your generosity. Don't let your poverty, if you're not making as much as you did, you took a job that has less pay. You're like, maybe I should cut off what I'm giving to the Lord. And you've thought about that and you're like, look, don't. Because these guys, that's why. This church is the reason you don't. Deep poverty. What came out of them? The overflowing. Overflowing can come out of poverty. In fact, I think people who don't have as much money are probably the most wealthy in their spirits. Amen? The most generous people. Don't let your poverty stop your generosity. Someone said this, no one has ever become poor by giving. Let me say that again. No one has ever become poor by giving. Amen? You've given. I know some of you give. And I'm preaching to the choir. You give every week. Automatically you give. You're not poor. You're rich. Jesus looks down at you. He's like, man, look at the riches. We need a new place to store the wealth, eternal crown of righteousness that they're storing up for themselves up here. Now look at this, and this will reinforce my point. The deep poverty overflowed in what? Wealth. That doesn't make sense, Pastor. It's in the Bible. It does make sense. Giving. Look at me, everyone, I'll look up here. Giving makes you wealthy in God's eyes. Does that make sense? Giving. They were poor. They had joy. They gave. And God says what? Wealth. The wealth of their liberality. I remember reading this story. It was a celebrity pastor who was in France. I believe he stayed at the French Riviera. Anybody have stayed there yet? 15,000 per night? Come on now, someone? Anybody? And he was walking by. And as he's walking by, there was a homeless guy next to the building. And he saw him, and the homeless guy said, hey, can you help me out? He didn't know who the guy was. And the preacher, who's loaded with U.S. dollars in his accounts, gave him $20. And you know what? He even wrote a tax receipt for it. Look, if he's loaded and he's got private jets or whatever they have, and he's staying in a $15,000 per night hotel, which I don't think God would want him to do in the first place. Forgive me for saying that. $20. That's not what this verse is talking about. Can I get an amen there? Now reverse it. $20 in the pocket. That's all the person has. See someone who's homeless. These guys, let me give some. How can I give some? And I don't need a tax receipt. These people gave while they were poor and persecuted. Don't let your poverty stop your generosity. Here's number two. What should encourage you to greater financial giving to God's kingdom? The example of those who give and excel in giving. Right? There's people who give and people who excel in giving. Let's look at verse 3. Here's Paul, he's talking to us again, the Holy Spirit's talking to us. For I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability, they gave of their own accord or their own will. Is anybody's favorite verse this verse? This one's on your screensaver, this one's on your phone, the home screen, anyone? It's not on mine. Mine says, God loves sinners, you know. I'm the chief of sinners, or John 3:16. How come this verse isn't on my screensaver? Because we often put giving last, right? We often put giving to the Lord last. Man, I can pray all night. I can read my word, and I can sing my heart out, but yo, whoa, you talking about my wallet? Back up the truck. It's like the last thing to get saved, isn't it? Is this thing. This thing is like an unbeliever in our pocket sometimes. And everything else about us is great. But we just can't get that part of us sanctified. But there are people, and I know there's some in here, who give and excel in giving. And that's what these people were doing, and they were poor. The word ability right here, this means they were able to give a certain amount. Now, I can only give this much. They're faithful with what they are able to give. Amen. God smiles down on that. But then there's another little phrase there that we need to talk about. And beyond what they're able to give. What in the world? Sometimes we excel because we sacrifice. Amen. We're able to give a certain amount, and then there's another amount which is higher, and we're like, nah, 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 nah. And we're like, wait, I can sacrifice something else and get there. Let me find a way to get there instead of shutting the door. Well, why did they do that? There it is. They wanted to. Right? Voluntarily. We talked about volunteers. Praise God for our volunteers in this place, and we clapped. Amen. We can clap for them. They want to serve. They want to give. They want to. I know somebody, it's like, it can't hold on to money. Some of us in here, we hear a quarter drop, and we're like, we know. We got like razor, we know exactly where that quarter is. That could help with the laundry. I could give that as an allowance. I mean, we across the whole room, we could hear it. But then there's people who just, I don't want it. I want to help people. I want to give away. I want to support. I know how important it is for financial stability to happen in an organization. I just want to give. They want to. That's what these people were doing. They were able. They went beyond their ability because they wanted to. These people excel in giving. That's some of you in here. I remember talking with my mom, and this was years ago, and she's one of those persons that she just can't hold on to money. She was recently sick, and I brought her over some cough medicine and cold medicine and stuff, and she's like, hey, I got some money over here for you. I'm like, what? Yeah, you brought me over that stuff. I got money for you. I'm your son, right? 2 + 2 = 4. I'm your son. You're sick. I'm supposed to help you. You don't have to pay me. And she never pays me exactly. You know, there's no receipts. There's no exact amounts. It's like, here, just take a couple 20s for cough medicine. She just wants to give. So she's at the restaurant with her friend, and they're eating, and they're sitting there at the table, and they had a great time. They had a great meal. And here comes the bill, right? Some of us are, you know, when the bill comes, you're like, maybe they're going to cover it for me. Who's been there? Maybe pastor's going to cover this one. Maybe Rosa will cover this one. Anybody? Everybody asleep in here? All right. So my mom is like, give me that. You know, that thing didn't even hit the table, and she was grabbing it because she wanted to pay. But her friend is just like her. And her friend was like, give me that. And they're both holding the bill. It's like, what in the world? What kind of story is this? You guys are fighting over paying? Let's go out to eat all the time. You can pay all the time. I wouldn't mind. So they were like, well, okay, you're going to pay. I'm paying the tip. Here we go. So there's about $15 or $10 on the table. I don't remember which one it was. Let's say it's my mom. My mom's like, nah, I ain't paying for it. That money's not going back in my wallet. And the other lady's like, well, I'm not taking it. I'm paying the bill and the tip or whatever. And so she said, give it to Rick. That's me. Give it to Rick. I'm not even there. I don't even live with my folks. I've been moved out for years. How did I come into this equation? I don't want it. Give it to him. Give it to someone. Hopefully we can get there in our giving to the kingdom of God. Amen. Or we just, can I give more? One pastor was like, yeah, 10% giving. I'm trying to get 90. 90. He's trying to give 90% of his income. Now here's our last point. What should encourage you to greater financial giving in God's kingdom, to God's church, to God's people? The desire of those who beg for opportunities to give. It just keeps getting more intense, doesn't it? We got the people that are poor, and they're giving, they're being persecuted. We got the people who give, and then they excel in giving. And now we got people who are begging to give. Yep, we got them. They're in verse 6, 4 through 6. Look what it says. There it is. Wait, don't poor people beg? These people are poor, and they're begging to give. It's backwards. Jesus' kingdom is not of this world, amen? Look, when people are like, whoa, you give 10% to your church, worldly people? That doesn't make any sense to them. Why wouldn't you save it? Why wouldn't you invest it? Because I believe there's an eternal kingdom that I want to build that is not revolved around paper money. They were begging them to give. Remember when we used to pass around the offering plate? Anybody over 30? Remember when we used to pass around the offering plate? And people are like looking down, right? Pretending not to see it. Here it comes. Or you just like, you quickly pass it. You hope nobody saw you. You want to hear the truth? Who wants to hear the truth? When I was a kid, I would put empty envelopes in the offering plate. Because I ain't giving no money. I was a kid, okay? I was a kid. Don't yell at me. Don't throw tomatoes. I would put empty offering envelopes in the offering plate week after week. Can you imagine counting the offering and you're like, man, this empty one again? Who is this person? It was me. It was me. I was begging not to give. But these people were begging for the offering plate to come around. They're hopping over people in the pew just to let a few more bucks drop in. Anybody like that in here? Look, these people were like that. It says it right there, begging us with much urging. Let me do this. Let me do this. Let me give this. Let me give more. Please, let me do this. Like, bro, ease up. Urging them. They wanted to give more. These people are off the chain. And look at the rest. Begging us with much urging for the favor of participating in the support of the saints. Man, they just wanted to be in. I want to be in. when people forget to ask us to give, right? When you're doing a Christmas gift and your brother and your sisters or family is like, let's all put our money together. And this is how I am sometimes. And forgive me, I got to just be honest. When people bring food to Thanksgiving and Christmas, you know who doesn't bring anything? They don't even ask me. I'm like, what? I got to start bringing stuff. I'm really not that bad of a person. I don't cook anything. Maybe I bring a bottle of soda. My mom's like, just get some bread. Like, that's it? All right. But these people were begging to participate. Do you understand me? Are you tracking with me? They were begging. Let me bring the turkey. Let me bring the stuffing. Let me bring anything that needs to be brought. I'll do it. Please let me do it. Whew. Why did they do that? What brought them to that point? The Bible will tell us. Amen. It's right in here. Look at the next verse. And this was not as we expected. Yeah, me too. I would have been like, whoa, they were begging you to get into this? When you give yourself to God first, you can do the unexpected. Come on now, somebody. But they first gave themselves to the Lord. That's the first thing that has to happen. Otherwise, you're just letting go of money that you don't want to let go of. You give yourself to God, and you can do the unexpected. Because it's Him doing it through you. Remember, it's the grace of God that was given to us. All the G's, it just keeps coming up. G, G, G. That's because we're just recipients. True giving begins with an understanding that everything you are needs to be available to bless God and someone else. Amen? And this, he said, was not as we expected. They first gave themselves to the Lord. And to us, that means we look out for other believers in need. That's why we have benevolence funds in church. During COVID, we had a Christmas offering, and it was way more than we expected. This was 2019. And then when the pandemic hit, we didn't get to use the benevolence fund toward what we wanted to because we were all like doing online services and not as many people were coming. So what we did was we used the benevolence fund to help anyone who was part of our church or someone who was connected to someone part of our church to provide for them if they got sick. So look at verse 6. So we urged Titus. Now, Titus was part of this. Titus had committed to helping out with this offering, and he says, we urge Titus that he had, that as he had previously made a beginning, so he would also complete in you this, there's our letter again, gracious work as well. So Titus had been like, I'm in. Remember, I said this offering, this collection took more than a year. So by the time we had to call Titus, we had to say, Titus, remember what you said you were going to do. Complete the work. Complete the gracious work of God that's happening among you. Paul the Apostle looks at the cooperative giving effort of the churches as something done through God and we as His participants. So it's like when God is doing things through money and generosity, He's already doing it and we're just like, we're just participants. There's a saying in investment and stock market and with the new currencies and things. It's called HODL. Anybody heard this? HODL. It's called HODL or HODL. It stands for Hold On for Dear Life. Who's heard this? Anybody heard this? So what it means is this. When you put an investment in like Bitcoin, okay, it's like a digital currency. When you put an investment in there and it starts to do well, right? It starts to go up and your investment's going up and then all of a sudden it goes way down and you're losing money. You know what they tell you? HODL. Hold on for dear life because it's going to come back up. Well, the market crashes and it's up and down. And it's not stable. HODL. Now, some of us, with our giving to the Lord, we are in HODL. Jesus has no access to this. He wants us to let go. Someone said this. Let me ask you this. And I'm not trying to pick on you because I'm going to Brookfield and we're going to hear the same sermon. And I preach to myself. If everyone in New Life Cicero followed your giving pattern, you individually, would the church receive a token, a tip, or a 10%? Think about it. If everyone followed what you gave, your pattern of giving, at the arcade, bing, would it be a tip? One of my friends, he gave like a 35-cent tip once. I was like, bro, I'm sitting here at the table with you. This is embarrassing. A couple bucks for Jesus? Or would it be 10 or more? Would it be 90? Be encouraged, saints. Be encouraged. These are saints. You're saints. Different situation. Maybe we're not as poor as them. Maybe we are struggling. Don't let your struggles stop your generosity. Still find a way to give. Still find a way to excel in giving. And pray that God would move you to be the type of person that would just want to beg to give. Now, as we get ready to close, we're going to do the offering. We're going to receive the offering. And I thought of three little scenarios. Maybe you're someone who you've never participated in giving to the church. You're a participant. And that's the situation you're in. You're new to giving. I want to encourage you, join the work, the gracious work of God that's going on in this place. People are being discipled. People are being baptized. Children are being taught the Word of God. We're receiving instruction from the Word of God. We're worshiping freely here. Join the work. This is a solid church location. They've planted churches. This is a church plant. Juan and Rosa have planted churches. That's an amazing thing. Join them. Now here's the other one. Maybe you're Titus. You're Titus. You said you were going to give. You committed as a member because members of New Life, we give 10. But you've been doing about 3. The year isn't over. Can you get up to the 10? You made a commitment. It's time to complete the work like Titus. Or maybe you're in the third situation. You're doing good at 10. But God's saying, go beyond. Excel. Go to 15. Sacrifice and give above. So here's what I thought we could do. Everyone just give me your wallets. No, I'm just kidding. Hold up your wallet. If you don't have a wallet, you can hold up your phone. I give online. You can give online at newlifecicero.org, correct? Is that right? Or on the app, please. Give to your location. If you go here, give to New Life Cicero. Don't give to New Life Rogers Park. Look, you're here. I'm telling you, I've seen it. People are saying, hey, did I have to give to Brooklyn? I don't even know what to say. Yes, give to New Life Cicero. It's safe, it's simple, it's secure. You can do it with your bank account, or I believe they're going to have the offering baskets or something in the back. On your way out, there are envelopes. You can drop cash or check in there. As our worship team is coming up, I'd like to just pray for that offering. Father, I thank you for this opportunity. God, I pray that you would help us to be people who fit into one of these categories. Whether it's first time giving when we're not really making a lot of money, or whether it's completing what we promised, or whether it's excelling past what we've promised. May your Spirit move in this place today, Lord. May it be something that is joyful. May it be something that is exciting for us, that we want to do it, Lord. Get us past the obligation and bring us to a point of desire. Oh, Father, I just pray that if there's anyone here who has not first given themselves to you in salvation, that they would do that today. That they would give their souls to Jesus Christ in the cross.